Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, September 23rd, and our guest this morning, Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. Dr. Fiennes, welcome back to His Time.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and you, sir?
Well, I've got an issue. I've got all these. I originally had one tree frog in my front yard on the wall, and then I discovered all the bugs that come around here nightly at night because of some lights, and now I got four tree frogs. I think it's like the begats in Genesis. One begat two, and two begat three, and four. By the time we get to October, we'll probably have 50 of them out there.
Four tree frogs sounds like a song you'd sing at summer camp.
Yeah, I think I sang it too much or something because they're all here. So it's okay. There's enough cobwebs and spiders for them to eat, so it'll be a fest. They'll be fine.
Well, Dr. Fiennes, you know, school is back in session now for almost a month now. Most kids have been back in school, and we're hopefully getting into the swing of our school routine. How do we stay on top of homework issues, especially for those kids that it seems like they're not always getting their homework done? There might be distractions or other reasons they're not getting their homework done. What do you have to offer us, Doc?
Well, I tell you, the homework is an interesting topic these days because I'm unfortunately also floating through some school systems or some schools are people that are, so I guess, self-proclaimed experts who have determined or say they've determined that homework is of no use to a kid anyway. It's a waste of time, you know. I find that a little hard to believe since some of the work by Wiley at Northwestern University said that the number one thing for kids is what they call time on task, which means if they learn something and relearn it, recondition themselves to it all the time, their brain, it's not a muscle, but it tends to learn new patterns of thinking. So first of all, I am for homework. But secondly, one of the other problems is our society is what Dewey used to call a big buzzing dilemma of noise, and there's a lot of distractions out there. And now these distractions have become electronic and digital and all that kind of stuff, so, Minecraft games and whatever. And I think that, and movies for that matter. And now we can use homework to actually distract our kids from distractions so they can start understanding that life is not just about digital stuff, life is not just about movies, life is not just about, you know, Pokemon or whatever, although that's all is fun. But that there's a thing called science and a thing called math, some stuff called religion and catechism that is sort of fun to explore. And I like what Marty Mayer, an old friend of mine who's a Lutheran pastor one time and also a psychologist at Michigan, said, is you need to make homework something that's fun, something you do together, something that's motivating, something that's intrinsic, something that gets their attention. Because, I mean, they love football or love baseball or love hockey or whatever, they don't mind watching a hockey game like the Blues or something like that, and they don't mind watching the Cardinals win or Cubs or whatever. But when you start telling them to read in their English or their history, all of a sudden it's not fun. And I think if parents would spend some time to show, you know, maybe reading with them, maybe interacting with them, maybe doing not their homework with them, their homework form with them, I think all of a sudden they'll start seeing that parents think it's a fun activity and parents think it's interesting, then it's interesting to them too, because parents do watch the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Blues, you know. So, I mean, I think it's sharing the time, sharing the interest, sharing the motivation, and sharing the journey together through the homework. And that, what the worst thing to do is say, okay, Johnny, okay, Benny, go sit down to your homework, like you're sitting in a torture chamber, and they're the only ones, you tell them that, well, you're sitting back having a beer or watch the TV show. It separates them from the family, and it separates them from the joy. And so it's like they get to work hard on something, and you get to sit there and be leisurely. And I think if you enjoy the homework with them and have fun with the journey, they'll emulate that.
So if parents can either model establish the environment for homework, and that includes modeling that. So if parents are sitting down to read something too at the same time, rather than having the TV going maybe even helping with the homework, that can certainly make a difference.
Yes. In fact, it was sort of fun. I mean, I'm not anything like a near perfect parent, when our kids were growing up, they would have their homework, and like I'd have a lot of paperwork to go through, files or whatever. And my wife would have some stuff in the hospital. And we more or less which I was working on that night, but sometimes both of us, they would do their homework for our saviors or whatever, and the kids, and I'd have my stuff there, or she'd have her stuff that I'd be writing on that chapter or article or whatever. And quite frankly, it was sort of a fun thing to do. And then we broke away for whatever time, dinner, after dinner, maybe watch a movie or whatever else was fun, take a walk. But we did it all together, you know. And then it made it, then the kids were not upset or bothered by saying, what does this mean when they were dealing with a physics question or a math question or English question or whatever. And we were right there, and it was really interesting and fun. And to this day, our kids are doing the same thing with their kids in terms of their homework, the parents' work. It's a thing where you get them into the intrinsic motivation, where it's not something that, oh boy, time to do my homework, but okay, let's take a look what we're going to learn here today, you know. And it's sort of interesting because, and then it generalizes that, like these tree frogs I mentioned earlier. One of my grandkids, he's got this biological project going on, and they're studying the development of frogs. And so now he's got all these plastic frogs all over the house, besides tree frogs outside, studying how they get together and create more frogs, et cetera. And so it's sort of an in vivo experience with his homework. But the thing is, there's always something to learn. There's always something new out there. The neat thing we've got going on now, if you want to get into digital with your homework, is that there's a thing called, as we know, Google. And if we had Google back when I was a kid, we would have been able to understand a whole bunch of stuff. But don't distract with the digital, but use the digital to dive into the homework and realize how much of the world there is out there that you need to learn. And if you go Google on history or math or whatever, it's phenomenal what you can learn with your kids. And not as a fun thing only, but as part of the homework experience.
So, as you pointed out, there are some digital aspects to homework today as well. As a matter of fact, some students' homework may be on a tablet or a laptop rather than sitting down with a pen or a pencil and paper or a workbook. Some of this work might be done digitally. How do we stay on task then and avoid the other distractions that may come up when working on a digital device?
What you do is you be with them and sort of enjoy the journey. Don't put them in a room with a digital device and say, here, write your paper up here. You sit there and watch what they're doing, maybe help them out. And maybe you go, like I said, you read something or do something while they're doing it. And I had a young lady the other day who created a digital, she was supposed to do a paper on the Denali National Park. And she did what we would call PowerPoints or video digital of it. Had all kinds of pictures, had all kinds of, you really neat stuff. It was well done, music and stuff. But you can hear one of the parts where she's talking, some laughter in the background, and her mom and dad were watching her do it while she was doing it, and so it was something funny she put in there. I guess she captured her dad's laugh about something. So they were clearly part of it. They were help, not doing it for her, but they were watching her develop this paper, or this video, excuse me, video on the Denali National Park. So there's a mindset in parents when we say homework time, that means a kid's sitting in a room with their computer or with their paperwork, with their pen, and the parents are gone. The parents are out mowing the lawn or doing TV or taking care of the dog. And even though the parents are doing a task too, the kids are stranded, as it were, ostracized in a room with a book or a computer or whatever they got going on. And that should be not the mindset. That should be the worst thing you can do is say, okay, kids, sit down at the table and do your homework. What you do is it's you with them doing it. And, you can have a cup of coffee or whatever you want to do, but just watch what they're doing digitally. And if you do that, you can enjoy the experience and maybe suggest some stuff to them.
So sitting down with them certainly makes a difference. What were, for you as a student, what were some of the things that were challenging when it came to homework? Did you have a lot of homework when you were a student?
I had a lot of homework, but I sort of liked it. The one thing I never really liked too much was algebra because I thought that's ridiculous and peculiar to have a language on math that you can just do straightforwardly. The neat thing for me is my cousin was dating my teacher, so I got extra free tutoring. And so he came over to the house all the time. I enjoyed homework. But you see, that then leads to something else. It's called reading. If you get to like books and like the analysis and like homework, you get continuing, what Marty calls continuing motivation, which means you go forward. And like now, I do a lot of reading every night. I read a lot of papers, read a lot of books, et cetera. And I think that probably came off my desire to do my homework when I was a kid at Christ Lutheran in Salt Lake and other places, because it was fun to do homework with my parents and fun to read now, and now I read to my grandkids. So I think that it's not just a homework, it's a pattern of life, a habit, and it's a fun habit that you go from, oh, a rather seemingly inconsequential task, which is learning homework, to then when you get older, to reading on your own, studying on your own, thinking things. And so it's a multiple benefit. You get your homework done, you learn about the world, you learn to communicate, and then when you get older, you keep it up. And quite frankly, you have a lot of fun reading at night.
What about having time to do that homework? You know, it seems that quite often kids are involved in a lot of activities. What if the kid has, so much practice for a sport or another activity in the evening that they don't have time to get all the homework done?
Well, that's an interesting question. And the question I have for that, is who's the author of their time? Who's the author of their time in the evening? And it gets back to the thing called bracketing. Parents and the ones, kids don't just pop out at birth and then give them a piece of paper and says, okay, this is your schedule for the rest of your life. You know, every night you do this. What happens is the parents that don't plan, the parents aggregate all this stuff together and accumulate all these sports activities like soccer, baseball, karate, whatever, softball. And they don't sit there and take the time to say, okay, guys, you're going to school now, so we're going to take whatever you want. Pick an hour, half an hour, whatever it is, for homework each night. They get them on these teams and leagues and stuff without saying, how do I organize this kid's life so that he gets an experience, that they get an experience of sports and fun, but also of learning. So, the kid does not sign himself up for soccer, sign himself up for baseball, sign himself up for karate. It's the parents that do that, okay? And so let the parents author a schedule or author a bracketing schedule where things are bracketed in for a certain time, a certain place in the kid's life. That's what's important. So parents, your kids don't automatically join soccer teams or automatically join baseball teams or softball teams. It happens because you have designed that schedule. So redesign it so they're bracketed more toward getting fun with kids, fun with teams, and also fun with homework.
So when planning for the fall season or the spring season, whatever season it might be, to be mindful of how much time it's going to take for each one of those activities and to figure in homework time as well.
Exactly. And make sure that you see, kids tend to like playing baseball or basketball or soccer or softball. They like, and so it's like, you know, doing homework takes away from that. But what the parent has to say is that, guess what? We're going to have several fun activities, whether we play soccer, we're going to play basketball, whatever it is, but we're also going to do our homework, okay? It's like when you bracket in Sunday morning services in Sunday school. I mean, you know, the parents automatically, a lot of parents listening to KFUO, et cetera, will automatically take their kids to church or to church services, et cetera. But you see, it's the parents' mindset to say, hey, guys, it's very important to do this, so we're going to bracket this time in. And we'll bracket in so it doesn't get derided or diminished by soccer or basketball or something else. It's the parents who design the schedule and bracket time. It's not the kids.
So parents are the ones who are taking, who should take the initiative in terms of planning that schedule.
Yes, I've never seen a third grade student tell me, I called up, signed myself up for three sports teams this evening, I can't make my homework. Because you know what? Most of those kids don't know how to use a phone, let alone call a coach up. So that's it. But, I've seen parents that would tell teachers at school, Johnny and Betty can't get this homework done because they got soccer, they got softball, and they got some basketball tonight, so we can't make it. It was the parent that set it up. And sometimes I think parents are guilty of trying to live their own youth and trying to be a good parent by getting these kids out with other kids in the evening because they don't know what else to do with their time.
Dr. Fyans, always great to talk with you. Thanks for the advice.
I really appreciate it. I love KFU. I think if KFU is an inspiring activity, it's a dynamic that helps people live Christian lives and live Christian principles in lives, so keep it up.
God's peace. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, my friend. Bye-bye.